want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And we are off and running for another week here at the Refresh Radio Program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and I am glad to be here today. Pray that you are having a blessed time, and we're looking forward to everything that God has been doing and is going to do. We want to say thank you to the folks at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric today, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. If you need them to come check your heater, they do that. If you want them to come check the air conditioner, they do that. It doesn't matter what type of air conditioner you've got. If you have electrical issues, they can solve that. If you've got one of those homes that has the type of breaker box that insurance companies don't like and don't want to insure, they can take care of that too. And so I just encourage you, give them a call, 321-632-9538. Don't remain miserable. In fact, you might want to talk to them and say, hey, are there any good deals on air conditioners out there? I've got an old system and I need to update it to a more efficient system because I'm tired of paying huge electric bills. If you've got a really old unit, you might find that it is worth your investment to have a new unit put in that'll operate with greater efficiency and cause your electric bills to diminish. And I know that happens because we've done that ourselves. So give them a call, 321-632-9538. 321-632-9538. Tell them that you heard about them on the Refresh Radio program, and we would greatly appreciate hearing the feedback on that. So we are off and running here in 2019. We are looking today back at the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, the Sermon on the Mount. And so let me go back and read that for you today. We finished on Friday our concept of the will of God, even though I don't think you're ever going to exhaust that particular study. But in verse number 9, it says, in this manner, therefore, pray. This is Jesus speaking. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So that's where we have been. And we've been on quite a study on the will of God. And that we should pray that the will of God manifests on earth as it is in heaven. Verse number 11 enters a new stage of the study of the Lord's Prayer, where it is a petition, a supplication, that God would give us this day our daily bread. Now, if I were to ask you, how would you like to do life with no reserve? I doubt that I would get very many people that say, that's the way that I want to function. But did you know that that is the way that a baby comes into this world? It all it has is the food, the milk that is provided for that one meal. And it just trusts that when it's time to eat again, that milk is going to be there. So I want to ask you today, do you have the faith to trust God like a child? Give us this day our daily bread. If there's one thing that that I've heard through the entirety of my Christian walk, it is this, that there are many people who have the mindset, they said, look, I cannot afford to give. I cannot afford to tithe. I know that there are a lot of people that, you know, they think that tithing is an Old Testament concept, and it is. They don't think that it's a New Testament concept, and I think that it is. Tithing predates the law. Tithing was something that Abraham did. I believe that it sets an individual, I believe it sets a church up for blessing. And there are a lot of people that have had the mindset where they said, I cannot afford to tithe. I cannot afford to give. And I will tell you this, in the Old Testament, the requirement that God put in place was that there wasn't supposed to be anybody who appeared before him empty-handed. There are certain offerings in the Old Testament that are proportional. It's a tithe. And so the more income that you have, the greater the source of blessing, the more you give. There are other blessings or other offerings, and he said, this offering is the same whether you're rich or whether you're poor. Everybody is supposed to be a giver. You, as a Christian, are supposed to be a giver. Now, there were times when I did not have a great deal of income, but I always had something to give. It's not necessarily about money. You know, if you want to go back to the Old Testament concept, a lot of times they brought crops for their wave offerings. They brought the firstborn of their herds and their flocks and things like that. And so there were a lot of non-monetary things that were brought, but it was supposed to be the first fruits. And so a lot of people say, well, I can't afford to give that. Now listen, I've been in some tight economic spots, but I will tell you one thing that I learned from my wife very early, and that was this: we can't afford not to give. Now, I'll let you in on a little secret. I've heard a lot of preachers that have made the declaration to individuals, look, you can't afford not to give. But then when it came to the church, they would say, my church can't afford to give. And I tell those pastors this, you can't afford for your church not to be a giving church. You need to not only be a receiver, but you need to be a giver. In the Old Testament, the priests were the ones that were recipients of the tithes, the offerings that were brought in. That was how their priesthood was supposed to be cared for. But there was 10% of what was provided to the priest that the priest was supposed to walk over to the altar, light a match, and give it as an offering to God. They were supposed to give their very best. So I want to ask you today, you say, where are you going with this? When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, are you able to trust God that he's going to meet your need beyond your sight? Are you able to trust God even if there wasn't a reserve? Because at Merit Assembly of God, we were one of the poorest churches that you could ever imagine. The first year that, well, let me start earlier. The first offering that we had was a $37 offering, and my wife and I put in over half of that. The first year, our total church budget, our total church income was $13,000. And at the end of that year, we discovered that we had a bill that we didn't know anything at all about. We struggled along for those first 3 years at 24,000, 27,000, 29,000. And that, we're talking in the mid-1990s, not that long ago. Those, you wouldn't want your family to exist off of that. And it was during that time we had missionaries that came through, but we were not a tithing church. And in 1997, God spoke a word and he says, I want you to start tithing as a church. You say, how does this incorporate into give us this day our daily bread? Well, Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And when we look at this concept, give us this day our daily bread, there is an understanding there that God is the God who gives. That was my Christmas message. It was part one, part two, and part three. God is the God who gives. That's what he does. But it is also expected that we are going to be givers. And so we went from 13,000 to 24 to 27 to 29. And the year that we started tithing as a church, we just committed to tithing. We hadn't even written the check yet. All of a sudden, God flipped the switch, and we went from being behind on our bills. I hadn't, at that point in time, I had gone 10 weeks without having a salary from the church. And during that time, once we made the decision, God flipped open the switch. The blessing from heaven started flowing, and we had $29,000 in that had come in. We were on pace for $29,000 again, and that was in April. From May to August, we had eclipsed $29,000. We ended up more than doubling the church income that year. We increased it substantially the next year and increased it more the following year and more. And now we're so much better off because God continues to give us this day our daily bread because we continue to honor him by being a giver also. This last year, 29 to 30% of the church's income went to missions. And listen, you might think, well, that's amazing. I mean, and that's probably a percentage that is, I mean, I know it's larger than anything that I had expected back in 1990 when we were looking at that. And it's like, they gave how much to missions last year? And you know, looking and say, I don't know how we could possibly do that. There are churches that I know that give $1 million a year to missions. There are some really large churches that give multiple millions of dollars a year to missions. So I'm not looking at that as a ceiling. I'm looking at that and saying, you know what? God, give us this day our daily bread. Here's what happened. Whenever we gave, our general fund went up. We gave everything. Our thing at Merit Assembly of God is we give 10% of the general fund to missions, plus everything that is designated for missions goes to missions, plus anything that that we have committed to, and it might not be in the budget, we make sure that is taken care of as well. As a result of that, we see that God gives us each and every day our daily bread. When God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt in Exodus chapter 16, they got out there in the wilderness where there was no natural food supply. There was no Publix, no Winn-Dixie, no Aldi, no Save-A-Lot. There wasn't a 7-Eleven. There are some 7-Elevens here. There was no 7-Elevens, no Cumberland Farms, no Wawa, no racetracks. There wasn't a McDonald's or a Taco Bell, a Wendy's or a Burger King. There was an Outback, a Carrabba's, you name the restaurant, you name the food source. There wasn't one out there. Millions of people being led by God in a place, and there was no food. And you know what God provided them? He provided them manna. There wasn't a food stamp program. There wasn't a social safety net of any form or any variety. They only had God. And when they cried out to God, God said, here, I'm going to give you manna. I'm going to give you manna from heaven. There was another time they cried out and he gave them quail. Now the manna was only, it only stayed in a usable form for that one day. Okay? The manna would rot if they kept it overnight, except for on the Sabbath. You see, God demonstrated to them, he said, look, I want you to be obedient, and when I need to prolong the food supply, I'm going to prolong it, but I want you to trust me each and every day. So I want to ask you today, how's your faith to pray that in the Lord's Prayer? Give us this day our daily bread. Do not let fear rule and reign in your life. Now, I will tell you this. God is a faithful God. For 40 years, they had manna in the wilderness. I will also tell you this. The manna was presented to them in a form that they had to process it in order to utilize it. And the New Testament makes it clear. This is a type. This is a representation of the fact that God provided Jesus for us. Okay? And so you need to take the Word of God. You need to study the Word of God. You need to apply the Word of God. You need to pray and say, God, what does this Word have to do with me? Because God is looking to develop a daily dependence of us upon Him, not just in the financial realm, but in the spiritual realm as well. When they needed water, water came forth from the rock. Moses struck it the first time because he was told to strike it. The second time he was told to speak to it, and he struck it. He thought that God was going to do it the same way this time as it was the last time. The New Testament makes it clear that God had that rock, which was Christ, following them around in the wilderness. You don't believe me? You look it up in the New Testament. You will find that that rock was, it was making that journey with them, because God was not going to fail to provide for his people. Moses said, God, don't ever let it be said he was able to bring them out, but he wasn't able to bring them in. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, what happens many times is we see that God did it. We're like Moses, and we think that, you know, God did it that way, and so he's always got to do it that way. Sometimes you are going to be blessed financially in one form or one variety, but it may not always happen that way. It may not happen to you like it happened to me, where one day while I was in church, someone broke into my car, and instead of taking things out, they put things in. They put in an ironing board and laundry soap and groceries for a very young minister and his family of a son and daughter at that point in time. The daughter number two hadn't arrived yet. So to show you what a quick learner I was, I went to church the next week, locked my car again. They literally had broken into my car, filled it up, and then locked the door again. The second week, they broke in again, and there was a big thing of laundry detergent, like a 50-pound container of laundry detergent. I mean, it was like, man, I need to make it easier for people to bless me. I need to make sure that I don't lock my car so that people can bless me. But that was the only time that I was blessed that way. There have been other times when people came up and gave a gift or something like that. I've had that happen in times past. There have been other times where God blessed because I was on commission and I had sales that were unprecedented, and he provided for my needs that way. There have been other times where people were provided with overtime so that they could have their needs met. God is a very creative God when it comes to making sure that he gives us this day our daily bread. When Elijah appeared before Ahab in 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah was a nobody. Nobody had ever heard of him before except for God and his mom and his daddy. He showed up before the king and he said, "It's not going to rain in this land again until I say so." Ahab's really brilliant. I mean, he's the king of the land. And so what does he spend the next 3.5 years doing? He's searching for Elijah to kill Elijah. Guess what? If that had happened, Israel would have dried up and blown away because it was only going to rain if Elijah said so. By the way, the next time that the world tells you they've got all of the answers figured out, you just show them some of the bright things and some of the brilliant things that the world has come up with by their system and how unsuccessful they were. And say, "You sure you want to stick with that line?" God has a tremendous track record. But he didn't provide for Elijah the same way that he provided for Moses and the children of Israel. Instead, that time he said, "You go and you stay by this brook, and I'm going to command the birds, and the birds are going to bring you your food on a daily basis." And Elijah stayed there until God said, "Now I want you to go to the widow in Zarephath, and I have commanded her that she is going to provide for you." Was it manna from heaven? No. But I tell you what it did is that when she honored what Elijah said and she made the cake for Elijah first and then she made one for her and her son, it was the last meal that they had. It was not meal as in dinner. It was the last of the corn meal that they had or the substance that they had to make a cake out of. And she said, "This is it. We're going to eat this and we're going to die." And Elijah said, "I tell you what, you make one for me first, like God told you, and you watch, that thing is not going to run dry." And it didn't run dry during that entire season. God provided for them day by day. Give us this day our daily bread. When Elisha comes onto the scene, there's a prophet who's died and his sons are about to be sold into slavery because he had debts and his widow says, "What are we going to do?" And he says, "Go and borrow as many vessels as you can. And you just start pouring oil into the vessel out of the little vessel that you have, you just keep pouring." And God miraculously sustained that flow of oil until every vessel was filled. And she said, "Now what do I do?" And he said, "Take the vessels and sell them, return them back to their owner, and you pay off your debts and you live off the rest." In Matthew chapter 14, Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fish and he fed 5,000 men and the women and the children. And they had 12 basketfuls left over. That was in Matthew chapter 14. In Matthew chapter 15, there were again loaves and fish, and he broke it and blessed it and multiplied it, and he fed 7,000. Matthew chapter 15. Let me turn over there. It wasn't 5,000. I think it was 4,000 on that day. 4,000 that he fed, and he fed a multitude. I think it was 4,000. A little tired this morning. But anyway, he did that one the same way. But when it comes to John chapter 21, the disciples have decided they're going to go fishing. Jesus was popping in and popping out. His appearances were pretty sporadic. And so they decide to go fishing at night. These were professional fishermen. They come back home the next morning after having worn themselves out, and they're not far from shore, and Jesus calls out to them, and he says, "What'd you catch?" And they said, "Nothing." He said, "Throw your net on the other side, on the right side of the boat, and so that when they cast it in, they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. You see, sometimes God's going to provide you with resources from heaven. Sometimes he's going to have unnatural deliveries that come your way. Some years he's going to provide for you a harvest in year six that is going to last you through year seven. Some years he's going to provide harvest for you in years 48 that is going to last you through year 49 in the year of Jubilee, the year 50. Sometimes he's going to supernaturally expand the flow of natural resources. Sometimes he's going to give you a bumper crop of harvest. But one thing you can rest assured on is that God loves you and God wants to take care of you. He is the God who gives. I pray that here in 2019 that you will be able to pray with faith beyond your natural senses, beyond what your bank account might say, and you would be able to say, God, give us this day our daily bread. We're looking to you. Do you know that I am not the least bit concerned about what is going to sustain me 5,000 years from now? You say, well, of course not. You're going to be dead, but I'm going to be very much alive in heaven. And Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides himself a sacrifice, the God who provides himself that miracle of the 5,000 in John chapter 6, when Jesus started teaching them as a result of that miracle, many of them got offended and they turned and abandoned him. And Jesus turned to the disciples and said, do you want to go away too? And they said, where else could we go? You alone hold the words to eternal life. They had discovered man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I want to encourage you today. Have faith that God is going to be your provider. That doesn't mean that we're not workers. We work diligently to bring glory and honor to God. We work to show ourselves approved unto God. We realize that it's God who gives us the ability to produce wealth. I want you to be the best employee your company has. I want you to believe God that he is going to provide supernaturally for you because you are faithful. You have given, and as a result, he's going to give to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give unto your bosom. Today, I want to encourage you, don't have faith in your employer, have faith in God. I don't look to the person sitting in the position of authority. I look to God. He is my resource. I want to operate by heaven's economy, not this world's economy. Trust God today. Believe him. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh
Radio
Program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
The one.